Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Track Podcast. I am Liv Agpone, joined with Ashley Titians. And our wonderful Corey Mall, a.k.a. Chat Guy. We are all here. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. And I feel like, again, having a great show ahead of us. We're going to be talking about some of the biggest moments of the weekend. But also we're going to dive into, we're in this midst of just relays, the Stanford Invitational, World Crosses happening this weekend as well. So we're just about to dive into everything. But before we do that, Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're going. We're going for sure.
Chat Guy, how are you feeling?
A little under the weather, but I'm good.
Yeah, it's just been just a crazy time of track and field. So let's go ahead and just talk about our top moments from the weekend. We've had lots of great races take over and lots of great standout performances as well. So Ashley, I'll kick it off to you. Were there some performances that caught your eye this weekend?
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of things that I think happened this weekend. If you, across both NCAA and internationally, just a couple that caught my eye. If we're sticking on the NCAA women's side, you have Mikayla Rose, a new NCAA outdoor 600-meter record, 125.75. Pretty epic there from her. And then you have Jamecia Ford. We all saw what she did at NCAA indoors. She, you know, won that 200-meter title there, and she opens up her outdoor season with a 51.16 400 meters. Also very impressive there. You know, that's great. And then you have Cameron Myers, who I think we've talked about him before on this show. He's a 17-year-old from Australia. Mm-hmm. 746 3K, new age group world record.
Just keep knocking out the world age group records, which is fantastic. Jamecia Ford is someone that I feel like we mention every time on our show, and I feel like it wouldn't be a Flow Track podcast without mentioning her. Along with her amazing performances there, her teammate, Centaria James, also went 11:01 in the 100 meters, which is super fantastic. So that is something I was really impressed with. But Corey, how about for you? Were there any standout performances that you saw?
Simeon Birnbaum, University of Oregon,
yes.
Got his first official race for the Ducks. He had raced unattached in cross country just once, and just kind of waiting for the guy from South Dakota to get going here. He ran 3:45.27 at the Oregon preview along with his teammate. And that's his first official race. I think a lot of people have high expectations for Simeon coming off an epic high school career. And, you know, as Jerry Schumacher builds Oregon back up to what he envisions it to be, I think Simeon's going to be a big part of that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, because I feel like I think this has been talked about a lot, maybe on some message boards and stuff, about the tactics involved here with Oregon and these guys. Like, none of them ran indoors, basically. They kind of spent that time not really competing. We didn't see any of them competing at NCAA indoors. We saw the women there, not the men. And now, so it's definitely interesting, I think, in terms of, like, okay, you could argue that maybe their cross-country season wasn't what we were expecting either from a program with the caliber, you know, like Oregon, and then don't run indoors, and, you know, you kind of hope that maybe outdoors things will, you know, actually come together and whatever's been cooking in, you know, behind the scenes actually comes to fruition almost.
Yeah.
I think you got to give him at least 4 years to get that exact copy of what you wanted from the start, because you can't come in with a different group and you recruit guys under your vision. It takes time.
Yeah.
So I do think like in 4 years, he's going to have a better impression of what Oregon is supposed to be under him, but it's not immediate results. It has to take time.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you there. We're going to talk about Oregon, so I'll give you my thoughts a little bit later in the show. But I know we have an amazing video. We saw a national high school record fall in the 4x1. Humble Atascocita from Texas broke that record. 26 years this record stood, from 39.76 from 1998. And now it's a 38.92. We saw the first team ever to dip under that 39-second barrier. So we're going to play that video. But Corey and Ashley, what were your thoughts when you saw the news? Because this, like, blasted on social media as well. So just what were your thoughts about it?
Well, before I get into my thoughts, let's watch this video, because then maybe I'll be able to put together my thoughts.
Okay.
If you watch here in the middle lanes, it's going to be Humble Atascocita. And to put this into perspective, I feel like there's, you know, almost like this expectation that every year, especially in Texas high school, like those relays, especially the 4x1s, they're gonna grab some eyes. But what we saw here, as you can see, Jelani Watkins here taking this stick in lane 5 there for Humble Atascocita, we saw something historic. 38.92. We've never seen any team in high school in the U.S. go under 39 seconds for the 4x1, which, I mean, that's... So to put my thoughts to it, I was like completely shocked. Like I thought a lot of us thought that maybe that this record could go down, and then, but for it to be absolutely destroyed by almost a second, like, I mean, people were like, this is like the type of thing where people didn't even think this was real. Like yeah. You see the time and you're like, this has to be fake. Like this, there's no way that they could have done something like this, but hey, you could go back and hand time it. Like we all did.
It
was accurate. Like it was. And I think it's just a testament to perfect conditions, things going perfectly on the day, having a group of guys there. You have like four D1, well, three seniors who are going D1 in track, and then Jelani in football as well. And then, you know, you have a junior who's going to be the D1 recruit as well.
Yeah. They did this at the Victor Lopez Classic out there in Houston. So I was kind of digging a little bit deeper into how fast was this performance? Like, you hear 38.92 and you're like, wow, that's incredible. When you look at what happened last year at the 2023 just outdoor season as a whole, Humble Atascocita would have finished 12th, like the 12th fastest time in the nation.
Yeah.
For NCAA. Mm-hmm. To put that in perspective of how fast these kids were moving. So as you mentioned, Ashley, like so many people were like, there's no way this is real. I know we had a chance to talk with them yesterday and they were like, we just put it all together, and the team, you can definitely sense the team chemistry and the team bond that they have. They just put it all together, perfect conditions, and it was great. But Corey, do you have any thoughts on the 4x1 or anything from the chat?
Yeah, well, we talked to them yesterday. This group was running for the first time together.
Yeah.
Jordan Parker was a crucial part of that because he is a 4.8 guy. He ran third leg. Obviously, you got to put him in a position to succeed, so the curve was right for him. But a little inside track on this, you know, we asked them a couple times like what was the X factor, and they were kind of coy with it, but I did get some intel. Essentially, you know, second leg, fourth leg, strongest runners on that team, Landon Fontenot, Jelani Watkins. Landon Fontenot handed off to Jordan a little deeper into the zone.
Yes.
And then Parker handed off to Watkins a little earlier in the zone. So he ran into the zone, handed off early to give basically Jelani a lot of runway to finish off the race. You know, you got to let your strongest guys run the most distance for the 4x1. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they had such a great 4x1. They kind of played all the parts correctly.
Yeah, I agree.
And when we learned that, like in my mind, it just clicked. It's like, that makes perfect sense. Like, why did I not think about that? I mean, I didn't sprint back in the day, so maybe that's why I'm not thinking about it. But like, it makes sense that you want to give someone like Jelani the most. He's going to, you know, be running the most almost, you know, like you want to put him in that position where he has the stick for the most amount of time and how you play those zones. It's interesting too. Like like, and I think it just shows, maybe also solidifies just why I find this one performance so incredible, is like just all the fine details that like went into this, and for this to happen, it's just remarkable.
Yeah. I know we were also talking about, is this something we might see again from these group of gentlemen? And, you know, I just think about how Texas is in this very moment, right? Like a lot of these programs are about to start thinking about districts and regionals. And a lot of them are going to be focusing on their individual races come state time. So I wonder if this is the only time where we're going to see this big enough of a performance really hit our radar over the next couple of weeks.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. Like, I think that may be something where, and I think I said this the other day, if you haven't seen it, go check out On the Line, the podcast, and yes, you can see our whole interview and our whole segment breaking down this performance. But like, I feel like this is one where you're going to look back on it and it's like, where were you? Do you remember when on, you know, that day in March in 2024, Humble Atascocita ran sub 39? Like, I think it's one of those legendary performances that I think it's going to stick around for a while. Like, everything has to go perfect for something like that. And I mean, it's pretty shocking, yeah. Which kudos to them.
I will say this, Fort Worth Wyatt ran under 40 seconds three times in 98. Atascocita has a chance to run under 40 again. I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know if they get to that, you know, vaunted number again. I do think they'll get under 40 again.
Yeah, that I can agree with. I think we can see a sub 40.
Oh, yeah. I think that's kind of a given. Like, I definitely think we can see them go under 40 again, for sure. Maybe multiple times. But it also, too, I think we were talking about this the other day, like, you know, with Texas and now you're in this area where you're having to do rounds, like, districts, regionals, states, it gets harder. You got to perform on the day, and they're also focusing on individual events as well.
Correct. So in this moment, I feel like the main thing is just get the baton around, and you know, it's states at UIL just literally a couple weeks. I think we're about like what, 5 or 6 weeks out from that.
How are we, like, where is this season gone?
I don't even know. Like, I blinked and it's end of March,
like, almost,
April.
Like, I can't even fathom it. Like, it's just, maybe it's because it's like every week there's something that we're covering, there's something big. Like, I feel like there's been a national record every week or something.
Literally,
like that.
Yes.
Like, it's just passing time almost.
Yeah It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Crazy. All right, moving on. Let's talk about our early season thoughts here. Who are some of our underrated athletes, our dark horse contenders for NCAA? Ashley, I really like your pick a lot.
Thank you.
So I'm going to kick it off to you.
I kind of like this segment. I was like, what can we talk about that, like, some athletes still haven't even opened up yet. And so let's talk about some of our underrated guys. I'm going to start off with a story here about this gentleman before I give you my most underrated athlete. So we were in, you and I know you remember this.
Yes.
We were in O'Hare, the Chicago Airport O'Hare, and we were on our layover about to go to Boston for the NCAA Indoor Championships. And there were a bunch of teams there, like, you know, on the same flight as us going to Boston. And the Iowa team was there. And I see this guy sitting around, and what's sticking out of his backpack? A fishing pole. Like, what is this guy? He's obviously going to the NCAA Indoor Championships with a fishing pole. I'm like, not sure what he's going to do with that. But hey, if he wants to, that's fine. Well, that guy turned out to be Kalen Walker, because then like 2 days later, I see this guy, you know, barreling down the runway toward me and getting second in the men's 60 to Terrence Jones. This guy has already been off to a great start, and I'd say he's very underrated. If you look at what he did indoors, he had a breakout year. I don't think he ran any slower than 6.66 in the 60. His best was 6.51. I believe he won the Big Ten indoor title there. And again, I mentioned he was second at NCAA indoors. And then he's already opened up his season with a huge personal best of 10.09 in the 100. That's the current NCAA leader. So, hey, watch out for my guy with the fishing pole. I really want to know more about that.
I remember this whole entire conversation because I didn't see him at the airport. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in my seat on the airplane. You text me like, there's someone with a fishing pole here. I was like, I have to see this guy. And my seat was closer to the front. So when I got off the plane, I was waiting for you. And I'm like, oh, I see Kalen Walker now with the fishing pole. So I wonder if he had time, because like you said, we were at NCAAs. I was like, I wonder if he actually had time to go fishing. So
that's what I want to know. Like, what was he planning? Like, was he, you know, in his downtime going to find some pond to walk to? The Charles River? Was he going to try to fish out of the Charles River? I don't know.
Everyone needs their, you know, relaxation.
Exactly.
They need their zen.
Yes.
I'm just confused why he was going to. Also, how do you get through TSA with that?
That was my biggest question.
Can you get through TSA with a fishing pole?
That was my biggest
question. I think it would. Wouldn't that be too large to fit?
But like, it was too small.
It's like it's almost like he maybe took it apart in half and then put it in his thing.
That would, yeah.
But it was definitely sticking.
I would say that you would have to, like, book that, like, with your suitcase.
Well, it was in his backpack.
It was definitely in his backpack.
Anyways, that's my pick, and I'm all for it. I'm a big Kalen Walker fan now.
Yeah, huge Kalen Walker fan. I think for me, an underrated athlete. We've had a chance to cover him in high school. He's a freshman now. Nicholas Harbor from South Carolina. He's a five-star football recruit as well. The reason why I have him in this category is I don't know if a lot of people are expecting something big from Nick Harbor just because, one, he's a freshman, but two, pretty much this whole season he's been playing football. He's had a chance to run a couple of indoor meets, but he opened up his outdoor season with a 10-16. He also went 10-24. Again, South Carolina had a meet over the weekend. So I feel like he's starting to get sharp. He also went 20.86. Did have some wins, so it wasn't a win legal mark. But I feel like we got to keep Nick there. I feel like once he starts to get some training, like track training in him, he's going to be a guy to kind of reckon with there.
Selfishly, I wish, I'm like, man, imagine if Nick Harbor, all he did was track.
Imagine
if all he did was track. You know, you have that track body. Like, it's different, you know? Like, he spent, like, his whole summer and his whole fall and basically into winter, you know, training for football. Like, that's what he's doing. And now to transition to track, it's like you're working different muscles, you know? Like, you're focusing on different things. You're trying to get that technique back, especially when you're looking at, you know, something like the 100. And there's a different, you know, different power to it at the same time. And it's like, if he can run 10-16 and 100 as a freshman, you know, off of, you know, with having his focus been primarily football, it's like, man, if he was just training for track all year long, like, I would make him, to me, even more of someone that I could see pictured at, like, the top of the NCAA even as a freshman.
I agree.
It makes you wonder, you know? Like, I definitely like this pick. It's like, man, selfishly, I want that to happen.
I know. I'm right there with you.
But I know he's got a lot going for him in football. Well.
It's great that he's able to do both like that, though, to excel.
He's cool.
Because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you see the football guys kind of lean toward that football, but I feel like he's embracing the both sports avenue.
I guess we'll see how long maybe that lasts.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Corey, any athletes?
Well, my take on Harbor here
is
that this is his last season of track.
I could see that. Because think about it. It's
if
like
he has a good year in football, if he has a great sophomore year, then he will have to start preparing for that third and really critical draft year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw Anthony Schwartz in 19, 1 year of indoor-outdoor. He was done. He focused on football. So, I mean, the logical part of us says he's got to go toward that route because – you know, football obviously has a lot of advantages to it.
Right.
So my take is this is his last outdoor season, so make the most of it.
I know, I could see that. Because, yeah, like it is once you get to that point where you're getting the attention and you're one of those guys and you're thinking about the draft, like you got to prepare for that. Like, and it makes sense. Like, for him, like, that's your career. That's how you're going to make money potentially. Like, that's how you could become a superstar. For being really honest, track just doesn't operate like that, you know?
Right.
And, you know, seeing what he even, you know, he, you know, got reps and stuff when he was a freshman, and he was one of the, I think he was the top athlete recruit in the entire country. So it may just be a matter of time before.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, Corey, do you have a pick?
Michael Williams, Oregon.
I like Michael Williams.
He's been to NCAA outdoors 3 straight years. He finished 8th last year, I believe. He finished 3rd in 2021. I think he could win. Do you think so? Micah Williams. This guy has he went to high school in Oregon, then he went to college in Oregon.
Yeah.
His whole objective was to make good for, you know, Oregon, the state that he lived in and went to the pick that everyone wanted him to make out of high school to go to this college that primarily was a distance school.
Right.
He went there because he wanted to make a statement, and he has, but he still needs that NCAA title. I think this is a year maybe he gets it.
Maybe. I definitely know he knows how to make it into a final and be an All-American. Now taking the title.
Right, right.
Yeah, but there becomes that's comes a time where you elevate your status from all – you've done it enough times to elevate from All-American to winner. To winner. Top three. I mean, like, who knows?
And it's a senior year, too, so I feel like you have to.
Yes.
You have to go out with a bang. I like that pick, too, Corey.
Okay.
I like that pick. All right. This is a very big weekend. And I'm just going to, like, literally hand the baton off to Ashley. The Stanford Invitational is this weekend. Ashley's going to be on the ground covering it all. So if you see her, please say hey. There's a lot to unpack here. So I'm going to let you take it off, and then we'll follow suit.
Sure. Let's go ahead. Stanford Invitational will be live on FlowTrack. As you mentioned, I'll be on the ground. And if you're looking at, if you've seen the preliminary accepted entries, it's going to be loaded, especially on that distance side. You're going to have just like handfuls and handfuls of some of the top distance runners in the NCAA looking for fast times, anywhere from, you know, down to that 800 all the way up to the 10K. So it's going to be really exciting. But to kind of narrow it down to just like a few storylines at first to talk about, I tried my best. You see my notes on the
page. I see your notes,
yes. I have like three pages of entries, it seems like. But I've narrowed it down to kind of a few questions and storylines. I'm going to begin number one. I think this is, for me, the top storyline. There are so many big stars in this, specifically this men's 5K. But I want to know, can anyone challenge the New Mexico freshman, Hobtom Samuel? He is entered in this, and I just saw him 2 weeks ago. He went number two collegiate all time in the men's 10K at the 10. He ran 26:53.84. I mean, that's just remarkable, you know, especially for someone. I believe he's only 20 years old. He's from Eritrea, I believe. And I got a chance to talk to him afterwards, and he's just so humble, you know, like he just like likes to go out and race. You know, I asked him too. I was like, gosh, did you think you would technically break the collegiate record, but still not actually break the collegiate record in that race, because Nico Young actually broke the collegiate record against him in the 10 there, was just ahead of him by about a second. And he was like, no, but kudos to him. And he's just trying to run something really fast. So he's going to go down to this 5K, and it's going to be interesting to see if anyone can match up with him and the momentum he has going into this event.
You took the thought right out of my head. Mm-hmm. Momentum is the key thing.
Yes.
And I think because you've been in that experience already with Nico Young running number two all time in collegiate, you know, history there. It's hard to take someone down like that,
yeah.
You know, and especially we talked about this before with the 10, the energy is there, the vibe is there. I feel like this is Samuel's race to like grab the victory here. I don't know if anybody is going to be able to.
I mean, it is interesting though, because you think about something like the 10, I mean, it's a pro event. They have pacing lights. Like the goal was to hit that Olympic standard. You're going to be fast. So it's a different environment when you then shift to mainly collegians. There's some pro runners in here as well, but mainly collegians, and you're just trying to compete, potentially run something pretty fast, but you're just trying to compete. And I think the other thing too to mention is that while Samuel and Nico Young were some of the only collegians in the field at the 10, like again, this is going to be mainly all collegians, but some of the best, especially if you look at the men's 10K or 5K. I mean, there's so many contenders that I look at. You got Kai Robinson, who's going to be competing on his home track. We saw what he did in the 5K and 10K NCAA Outdoors last year. Colin Solomon, Kenneth Rooks, you know, the steeplechase champ from US Seniors last year, now with Nike. Cole Sprout, Leo and Lex Young, too. And Dennis Kipengedich of Oklahoma State. Like, those are so many guys right there that can easily, you know, win this field. Not only to mention, you got Washington guys, Luke Hauser and Lito Doshbach. Like, and then, gosh, I'm sorry, I'm still keep going through all my entries here. And then you got Rocky Hansen. Rocky Hansen's returning from injury for Wake Forest, the freshman. So, goodness. I feel like I'm out of breath.
I love the breath there.
Just like reading all of that out. But
it's going to be, you mentioned all those names. I'm like, we know them. We love them. Great field. It's going to be competitive.
Yes, that men's 5K is going to be one to watch.
Yeah.
Corey, thoughts?
Hey, what happens when you put competitive field together? You get times.
Yeah.
Fast time. So not doubting it.
All right. Let me move on to my next storyline then. How about that? I know we kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, talking about some of the top things from the weekend. But you're going to have some of the Oregon men going to Stanford to run. And on my mind, I'm just curious to see what Simeon Birnbaum's going to do. As we mentioned earlier, he ran 3:45 this weekend at home at Oregon. didn't run indoors, but we're going to see him, Reinhardt Harrison, Elliot Cook, some of those guys competing, and Birnbaum's going to be in that 1500. And I think I'm mostly curious about him because if you're looking at what he did last year as a senior in high school and even what he did as a junior, like, I mean, he elevated himself to like that top, like basically like the top distance recruit in the entire country going in as a freshman. And we've seen what he can do in the mile. We've seen what he can do at the 1500. I think we saw him run 3:37 in the 1500 last year as a high schooler. He competed not only in one Nike Outdoor Nationals in the mile, but he competed at, I believe, the U.S. Seniors as well in the 1500. So he has some of that experience, and I'm excited to see what we can see from him in a competitive field where there's going to be plenty of guys around him.
Yeah. To piggyback on Birnbaum there, he also ran, as Corey mentioned, for the first time this outdoor season at the Oregon Preview, where he went 3:45 in the 15 after, I'm assuming, he was battling an injury. He did a post-race interview, and he mentioned like he was not happy with that performance. And so I think with that, it kind of fuels that fire a little bit to be like, okay, I kind of got that first one out since all of this happened. He also mentioned in his interview that it's been a long time since like he's had this long of a break from his last race. And so he's just like, I'm just itching to get out there. I'm itching to compete, trying to get, you know, just trying to get into racing mode again. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does over the weekend too. I think he's also doubling in that 800 as well, along with Elliot Cook, who actually won that race too. So again, just getting into that racing mindset, I think it's just going to be great for these guys.
Some other notable names in the men's 1500. This one kind of surprised me because I think all of us didn't see him run cross. And we were like, what happened to him? Casey Klinger,
yeah,
BYU. This man still has eligibility. He's still there. We're finally seeing him run again. I think he's entered in both the 15 and it's either the 5K or the 10K. So that's an interesting double there, nonetheless, going 15. And then I think it is the 10K. So that'll be interesting. And then you also have Leo Young in that as
Leo
well.
Leo Young. Love
it. It's the duel between the freshmen, Leo Young and Simeon Birnbaum.
I'm all for it. That's going to be great.
Casey graduated high school in 2017 from American Fork. He is 25 years old.
I was going to say that. Like,
he did go on that two-year mission. We know BYU true. Guys
yes.
have a different path. So
yes.
Is he much like Clayton Young? Is he taking the Clayton Young path?
Maybe. I could see that. I kind of like that comparison. We just need to see him then get into marathoning soon once he graduates.
There you go.
We did have a comment about athletes going into the 5K. Our guy David Wynn mentioned Karami Yego of Arkansas, guy who's going to win, flat out.
Looks like he finished ninth in the 5K indoors in Boston, 13:36 there. Definitely got to watch out for. Again, I think this is just a testament to, like, there's so many names that, I'm literally scrolling through the preliminary entries, and, I could have written down so many more names just to watch out for, but it's like you have to pick, like, the people. It's hard to pick them all, you know.
If you can see our notes, right? Well, Ashley's notes, I'm just like, yeah, there's no point in me putting anything down here. You have it all taken care of. It's so loaded.
It's a testament probably to what NCAA distance running is like right now. Like, we've seen so many players come in and grab wins at so many different invitationals and at NCAAs that it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Ashley, any other big storylines?
Well, I feel like we've talked a lot about the men. Let's talk about the women for a second. I'm really curious about this women's 10K because how I see it, if you look at the entries, I think it's going to be a battle between Taylor Rowe and Hilda Olamomoy. So you have Taylor Rowe, who finished third in the 5K and fifth in the 3K indoor championships out of Oklahoma State. Or sorry, that was Olamomoy. And then Rowe was second in the 5K indoor championships. And these athletes, they've been, not to say like, overshadowed, but I feel like Parker Valby obviously is taking the spotlight on the women's side, but like they're the ones, you know, on that next rung, like just behind her, you know, and not even like next rung, like they're still elite in their own ways. And so I think it's gonna be interesting to see how they battle with each other in this 10K.
Yeah, I agree. I think this 10K is gonna be really interesting, as you mentioned, just having a lot of individuals that were competing at indoor champs kind of, you know, now facing each other once again. You talked about distance running right now, I feel like, is at its ultimate high, and we're going to finally kind of see a preview, potentially, what things could look like later down the road as we start making that journey toward NCAA outdoor championships. But, ooh, this 10K duel is going to be spicy.
Again, and now I'm, like, scrolling down to just some of the other entries to mention, too. Some other notable names and familiar faces, not on the NCAA side, but you're going to have Matthew Centrowitz. I believe he's entered in he's entered in the 800, and then as well he's entered in the 5K, which we could have some pacing duties there. We also have Craig Engels, who's entered, I think, in the 5K, 10K. Maybe expect some pacing for that 10K. I don't know what he's planning on doing with the 5K. And then if you're looking at some more women's storylines, you're going to have NCAA indoor 800-meter champion Juliet Whitaker in that 1500 on her home track. So that's going to be interesting. You also have a huge BYU contingent from the 1500 all the way to the 10K for the women. Athletes like Carmen Alder, Jenna Hutchins, you could go on and on. Again, it's just, I don't know what to say. I'm just like, I'm going to be all over the track. I feel like just trying to get all these athletes.
I'm really excited to see Juliet Whitaker in this 15.
Yes, because it's an interesting point. Like, you just reach like the ultimate high. I feel like it's, you could argue too that maybe that 800 win, I think a lot of people were expecting Michaela Rose to win that, if we're being very honest. And it was Whitaker who had the final gear. So to come from a moment like that, where maybe you were, it was kind of an unexpected win from the people around her, maybe not herself, but to then have to go from that to, all right, let's get back on the track and now run a 1500. I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Corey, any thoughts from you?
I see Leo Dashball in here for Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leo, huge Leo fan.
He was an incredible high school talent, but he's had some injuries that have limited, I think, him at Washington early on. He's finally back to kind of gear. He ran a DMR, I think, at Nationals for Washington. So really looking forward to see what he can do. But, yeah, just solid group here that are going to be able to compete. A little bit more on Birnbaum. You talked about getting in races and finding your identity in races in college fields, I think, is really important. You just have to get a lot of races under your belt to understand that it's going to be different than your high school years.
Right.
And you just got to get the reps. Yeah. For him and a lot of these guys, it's about, you know, kind of going through the paces every single time out. So very important times just to get in races and to figure things out.
Yeah, the key is getting into races, getting sharper. The training is going to come. Just putting it all together when it matters too.
That's for sure.
I'm excited to see what everyone does. Any last minute thoughts on Stanford?
There's other things I can talk about, I'm sure. But here, wait, before we go, I'll just mention some other names I think to keep an eye on.
Yes.
Peyton Noe, the freshman from Arkansas.
Oh my gosh,
She was indoor. Yeah. I think maybe she didn't run indoors. I don't know what the situation was there, but she had a really good cross season up until I think the NCAA championships. And excited to see what she can do now on the track here. I think she's transitioned pretty well to the NCAA level. And then again, I think to go more on that freshman storyline, there's a lot of star freshmen. Again, Birnbaum, Lex, Leo Young, they're going to be doing anywhere from the 15. I believe Leo's doing the 15 5K double. Lex doing the 5K 10K double. That's a beast of a double.
That is.
Rocky Hansen, as I mentioned, returning after being injured, I believe, for half the indoor, the whole indoor season and half the cross-country season. And then one more athlete I want to mention, too, I think that we should keep an eye on is Fiona Smith. She is of St. Benedict. She D3 record holder in the indoor 5K. She won the cross-country championships. I think she could be a dark horse here, too, just to be competing with some of the top D1 collegians as well.
Mm-hmm. Lots of great stuff. Thank you,
Ashley. All right, I'll end it there. That's it. If you want to learn more, we'll be dropping some previews this week as well.
There you go. So go to FlowTrack to get all of that. We're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk about Texas Relays because Corey and I will be there covering that meet. I am pumped. There's a lot of great opportunities from the high school level all the way to the college and the professional level. But let's start with Gabby Thomas. Yeah. Huge fan of Gabby Thomas. I feel like she always I think last year, maybe the year before, she debuted her outdoor season at Texas Relays. So I feel like that's the moment to be excited because you're like, all right, mm-hmm. Gabby Thomas is in the building. Ashley, what are you kind of expecting from her?
Yeah,
what
I know.
Should we expect?
I know we're all really excited to see her run. Again, she's based in this Austin area and trains here. So kind of an easy meet for her to debut at, right? You don't have to travel. And I think we saw her compete at New Balance Indoor Grand Prix indoors, and that's about it. Is that correct? I believe she only competed a couple times. So this is a big year. And this is the start of your journey to Paris. You know, this is where you're kicking it off. She's going to be running. She's entered in the 100 and the 200. As well, she's in that 4x1 as well, I believe.
Yes.
And the 4x4. So I'm excited to see what she can do. Again, like, it's it's one of those years where she's been top dog, especially in that 200 for so long. So it's now just a matter of getting those reps in. Texas Relay is always a really fun environment, so kind of a fun way to do it, get those reps in, and it's going to be competitive.
And I know she's going to have a couple of her training partners there too. Yes. So Tamara Clark, Solera Barnes, Cambria Sturgis, I think they're also in the 100 too. Lena Irby Jackson is going to be in that 200 with Sturgis, Alexis Holmes. Can we talk about this 800? I see your notes here.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. I'm a little confused. I don't know what's going on here, but you have Anna Cockrell and Alexis Holmes entered in the 800.
Very interesting.
Do they run it? Are they pacing or do they run?
I mean,
pacing?
I don't know. You don't really have a pacer in 800 usually.
We've seen 400 runners take on 800 before.
Yeah, so maybe it's a good training.
400 hurdler, right?
Yeah.
400 runner in Holmes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's just sort of, you know, the strategy to build toward Paris, build to the trials. You got to get this working early. And what better way than to go into the Texas Relays and kind of put down an 800?
I kind of like it. I would love to see.
Great way to start.
If they're running this all out, I'd love to see what they can do.
Oh man, that's gonna be interesting.
What's the time?
Oh god.
I think
they will be quality. I think they'll offer quality.
I think they'll be quality. I'm thinking
205.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's what my brain was at. I was like 205.
I mean, you got to think about it. These are Olympic level athletes. Like, you know, you're even if you move up, you're going to do fine.
But that interesting. It's just 800 at Texas Relays. There's a lot of eyeballs there. So I don't know if I would personally want to run.
I think the interest level for me is how do they pace it?
Yeah.
Because traditional 800 for, you know, elite women, they're probably going to go out in what, like, I don't know, 58?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
And their 400 meter runners, Holmes has run 51, right? Or even 50.
50 point, I think.
So, I mean, where do they kind of open up at? Do they
have to hold it back? I think
hold it back and then just.
Because if you're going all out that first four, it's going to be a painful death. It's going to be a painful run to the.
Oh, they're walking, literally walking if they go all out for that first 800. But
yeah, that's an interesting race I'm excited for. We also have some spicy relays on the women's
side. Let's talk about the spicy relays.
I think there's been a lot of buzz about Coach Flo's group in that 4x1.
Yes.
Julian Alfred, Deanne Asher Smith, Rashida Adeleke, Lene Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could see something fast.
Julian Alfred. Yes.
We all know what happens when we have Julian Alfred on a relay.
It's going to be fast. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun and exciting. Also, spicy 4x4s outside of Coach Flo's group. Kendall Ellis is going to be in a mix. Dalila Muhammad, Lena Irby, Jessica Wright. There's going to be a USA Red. And there's also, like, USA Red, USA Blue, so they kind of mix things up. But also, Captain Athletics, Britton Wilson and Shamir Little.
Everyone's bringing out the stops.
I'm all for it.
And I'm really curious about Britton Wilson. I know she's been battling back, rehabbing from injury for after outdoors last year. We all know what Shamir Little can do. She made that world outdoor team in August. So again, this is where everyone's like, you're getting those first reps. You're not showing all your cards, but you're getting your first reps and you're making it fun. That's what I like about Texas Relays too. It's fun. Like I was there last year just kind of spectating and I mean, that whole place is packed.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Very exciting.
Very exciting there. I had a chance to see Shamir Little at NCAA Indoor Championships. She did mention that she was going to be at Texas Relays, and she was just like, I don't know if I'm running this 800 or not. I'm like, oh, well, I think she got out of it. So
sounds like it.
There we go. All right. How about for the men's side, Ashley?
Well, if you're looking at the pros again, lots of familiar names. We have one of the Lyles here. Not Noah Lyles. Josephus Lyles. 100 in the 200. You have Bryce Stedman, Elijah Morrow. They're going to be in that 200 there. Aldrich Bailey Jr. in the 400-meter hurdles. Brandon Miller in the 800. That one's one that
I'm
really excited for.
To see it.
And then these 4x4s. Again, very interesting here. You're going to have USA Red. You're going to have on that team Michael Cherry, Matthew Bowling, Quincy Hall, Will London. And then a bunch of those guys that I already mentioned prior, they're going to also be running some 4x4s.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I want to switch gears briefly because I feel like if you're going to be at Texas Relays Wednesday night, I want you to I'm going to take a nap sometime tomorrow because 8 o'clock is my bedtime. But I will be in the stadium to make sure I get a front row and center view to watch Elizabeth Leachman take on the track. If you don't know who she is a sophomore from Bernie Champion in Texas. She's already broken the 3,200 meter national record outdoors. She smashed the indoor 5K at Nike Indoor Nationals. And here her eyes are set on breaking the outdoor national high school record in the 5K there. Natalie Cook has it right now with the 15:25.93, which she set back in 2021. And to put this in perspective, Leachman went 15:28.90 at Nike Indoor Nationals. So no pressure whatsoever, but I know Elizabeth has had this on her mind for some time. I had a chance to talk with her coach, and they're all on the same page. Like, that is the goal Wednesday evening. But Ashley, just – I know you're going to be at Stanford.
Can we do a side tangent? Where did we get this photo?
That's from USA Today.
This is gorgeous.
I know. Isn't it beautiful? Look at her. Just the scenery is lovely. Lovely. So, actually,
great photos of Elizabeth Leachman out there.
Shout out to USA Today. Ashley, just – I know we were talking about this yesterday. You think 15:20 is in the cards?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've seen those people run plenty of times. I've seen how she's been running recently. And again, not to put, you know, when you're talking about this, it's like it's all in positive. You're not trying to put pressure on anyone. But like the way she ran at Nike Indoors, 15:28, you're doing that on an indoor 200 meter track. She almost came 3 seconds away from breaking the outdoor record indoors. Come on. Like, I think if she can lock into a pace and do what she normally does and doesn't falter and she's able to pick it up that last mile like we've seen her do before or in recent months in that 5K and even in the 2 mile, like, I think this is hers.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of how fast she can go, I think.
Corey.
Yeah, I agree. I think that indoor race though was close to her, you know, fitness level.
Yeah.
And looking at Natalie Cook's record from a couple years back, you know, let's give some kudos to her. Like, she was in a form that we had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Leachman essentially is right there with her. I don't know how far she gets under it. As we mentioned yesterday, there are some questions I have about pacing with her in this race. But, you know, that being said, we understand what kind of gamer she is in that moment. And when eyes are on her, she tends to just sort of hit that next gear. So I do think she's capable, and we'll see what happens.
Love it. So, yeah, I will be taking a nap, getting ready for that tomorrow evening. So it's going to be all exciting stuff here at the University of Texas in Austin. So Texas Relays is going to be popping off. Stanford Invitational is going off. Of course, Florida Relays. All the relays are happening.
All the relays, but Penn Relays happening.
Penn is coming up.
Penn's coming up.
I'm pumped for that. Man, just kind of looking at the entries for Florida Relays, it's going to be great. I love seeing some of these professional athletes kind of doing some off distances here a little bit, trying to prep and get ready, working on some fine-tuning stuff. Ashley, who are some of those athletes that you're looking forward to just seeing and hearing?
My
about?
Number one athlete I'm looking forward to seeing the most is Talitha Diggs.
I second that.
Yeah, again, kind of an easy opener since she's in Florida, but like I believe she's in the 100. Is that correct?
Yes, I saw her in the 100, yeah.
She'll be in the 100. Obviously, we've seen her. She's that 400-meter specialist. She was at World Indoors competing there. To me, she's one of those talents. She's just looking for that next step, you know? And I think this is that year where she's trying to make that Olympic team. She's still such a young talent, not, you know, too far out of college. I believe she's still studying, you know, at Florida as well. And I'm curious to see what she can do in this outdoor opener in the 100.
Yeah. Also in that 100-meter outdoor opener is Joe Van Bule. Huge fan of him in that 100 meters. Also, in the Olympic Development 200, you're going to have Ryan Wiley, who was the runner-up at NCAAs in the 400 meters last year. So that'll be great to see. And then our guy, Kenny B.
Kenny B.
Huge fan of Kenny B.
Kung Fu Kenny.
Woo! In that 400 meters. He went 46 flat to debut his season literally 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So
why not run it back? Let's run it back.
Back to back, which is awesome. But I feel like for me personally, the matchup I'm looking forward to is the high school 100.
I love that. That's your favorite matchup.
I am. Mia Brahe-Pedersen. Everyone loves Mia, and everyone loves Adesia Hodge.
Okay.
In this 100. So it's going to be, like I mentioned yesterday for the On the Line podcast, like, Mia's coming back from injury. but she just like really elevated herself last year with all that she has done, the times that she's dropping, just putting herself out there at USA Outdoor Championships. So I'm just curious to see, one, where's Mia's fitness level at right now? Deja Hodge has been running all indoor season, looks very sharp. She's been getting some of that she was part of that 4x4 team that broke the indoor national high school record. She's getting stronger in that four. Her two is starting to come along. The bigger vision is Paris, obviously. So you and I were talking about this in the office. We have not seen Hodge and Bri Pettersson battle outdoor head to head. We have not seen it. We've seen it handful of times during the indoor season over the last couple of years, but this will be the first time that they face each other in an outdoor event. So I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Again, they, like you said, they've never competed against each other before. And I think I said this too on the line the other day, which you can go check out. Like, they're very similar. They, you know, like they've had similar trajectories. They've both competed, you know, not just at the top of the high school level. They've competed at senior championships. Deja Hodge even competed at the world outdoor championships in Budapest. So they have some of those other experiences that most high schoolers don't get. Like, you don't see these high schoolers at that level competing at that level. Right. So now to see them now competing against each other, they're really cool.
Yeah. Corey, any thoughts?
Strong entries, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I have noticed, I think, if you train in a region, you're
going to run there.
Going to go to the meet closest to that region right now. So it's kind of, I think that's how it's working out right now in the season for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. So a lot of, you know, traveling within the region. So, all right, let's move on to our final relay talk of the show. Raleigh relays. This is Ashley's backyard.
Yes.
Wait, you've competed at Raleigh relays before, have you?
I never ran at Raleigh relays.
Oh, you haven't?
No, but we would always go, like, you'd go watch in high school. Like, you know, your high school team would go watch because they don't have, like, really any high school
couple
events. They only have a couple. It's the 32s, and then I think they used to have a mile, I believe, or 16.
You didn't run the mile there?
No, we just never did it.
Oh, okay. No. So,
but anyways, we used to always go. It's always so fun because there's just, and I saw this again as evident when I was trying to scroll through all the entries. So many teams are going there. Very East Coast heavy, obviously, but some elite athletes as well.
Yes. I think for me, NC State obviously is the big headline for me. I'm just looking at kind of like the underclassmen in a sense, because I feel like NC State has just done a tremendous job with recruiting. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a lot of these top named athletes from that we've seen at the high school level and who are growing and developing now as part of this Wolfpack. So you're going to have Angelina Napoleon, who's going to be that 800 and also the steeplechase. She's the national high school record holder in that steeplechase event. Kate Putman is doubling in the 8 and the 15. Leah Stevens, who has been a part of that cross team, looking very strong, will be in that 5K. Brooke Robber is in that 1500 meters. But I think the biggest name coming out of this is Kelsey Kimmel, is going to be in that 10K.
Yeah, Kelsey Kimmel. It's interesting because I guess you'll see. Well, I know during cross country season, it was really unfortunate for NC State. They, you know, right before NCAA championships, she unfortunately got injured, couldn't compete. She's been that, almost like that backbone for NC State for just so many years. They still end up winning the title even without one of their, you know, their top athletes. But to see her back on the track is interesting. Interesting to see a 10K. I don't know what the play is there, especially since she's been injured. Maybe she paces some of her teammates. I know sometimes that can happen. But maybe she runs the whole thing. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. So, I'm really excited, at least just to see her back on the track for sure.
Yes, that's what I'm looking forward to, just to see her out there putting spikes on, could be whether she's pacing duties or whether she runs the whole entire thing. I'm just excited to see what she does there at Raleigh Relays.
Long term, NC State, Camille is a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Tui just turned pro. They do have to start working in some of the younger talent.
Exactly.
If they want to compete at that XC level next year. You know, I think this is building block moments for Lori Hines and that team to sort of start to figure out who is the next cycle of women who are going to take over this program.
Yeah, absolutely. So giving that opportunity for the young Wolfpack to kind of elevate, I think, is a great opportunity for them. Ashley, are there any other athletes that you want to make?
Again, it was hard to scroll through and pick out every name, so I'm just going to focus on a couple key people that I saw. Gary Martin of Virginia, he's been, I feel like this year he's had his breakout year for them. Again, I think just a sophomore, but for Virginia. He's going to be in that men's 5K. I know he competed in the mile at NCAA Indoor Championships, and so already right back at it running a 5K. And then I want to give kudos to someone running for Charlotte. That's going to be Nick Scudder. He's been one of those guys, especially on the men's distance side, that he's like just like right there. You know, like he's competed at NCAA championships for so many years in the 10K and even at the cross level. I think he finished All-American in cross this past season. He was fourth in this event last year at Raleigh Relays, and I think he could be one of those guys that could definitely win this race in the men's 10K.
Yeah. Great things happening across the country with the relays. But before we end our show, there is a really big championship going on this weekend.
Let's just add one more thing to the docket for the week.
Yes.
The weekend.
So just when we thought cross country was over, psych.
It's not.
We're back. World Cross Country Championships will be taking place this weekend in Belgrade. Beatrice Chibet, the defending champion, expected to compete. Our girl, Wayne Kalati, expected to compete. There's been a lot of shuffling, though, on the men's side of things.
Yes. Well, let's look at first. Let's talk about Team USA here.
Yeah, Team USA.
You know, for the women, like you mentioned, Wayne Kalati is going to be that, you know, that athlete that we're looking out for here. We just saw her run at the 10 and run 30-33, I believe, if I'm correct, in that women's 10K. And I talked to her afterwards, and she's like, I'm just excited to get on the track. And then I'm like, but now you're going back to cross. She's like, yeah, I know, but like, it's going to work out. And she's like a very happy person. And you can just see that she loves doing so many different things. We've seen her, you know, set the American record in the half marathon. We've seen her do her thing in the 10K. Now she's going back to cross. So I think she could be a contender there to be toward the front of the pack, which is, you know, would be great for Team USA. Again, like you said, we've seen some shuffling. I know at USA Championships back in, I believe it was January in Richmond, you saw Cole Hawker, I believe, Cole Hawker, like some of those athletes that did compete there and make the team will not be competing, it looks like, for Team USA. Instead, you have, this is your lineup for the men: Christian Allen, Emmanuel Bohr, Reed Buchanan, Anthony Camerari, Ryan Ford, Ahmad Muhammad, and Anthony Rodich. So
there's your,
be your men's storyline. But as you mentioned, the top storylines, I think, are going to be for the women: Beatrice Chibet of Kenya, defending champion, going to want to defend that again. Same thing, sort of thing, on the men's side. Uganda's Jacob Kiblimo, the guy to beat, defending champion.
Yeah. Also, to make a note of this too, we did see Safwan Hassan's name listed, and she also announced that she will not be competing either. She is still wanting to recover from the Tokyo Marathon.
I don't blame her. That girl,
as you should.
Safwan, she's like one who, you know, she loves to race, but I'm like, girl, take a second. It's okay. It's an Olympic year. It's a big year. It's okay.
I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Corey, any last-minute thoughts before we wrap up our show?
Well, shout-out to David Wynn.
David Wynn.
Yes. Milesplit contributor who's going to be at the Raleigh Relays, and he is watching the show right now, so shout-out to him. World U20s also.
Yes.
In Serbia. We got a couple high schoolers that are going to be there and competing, so shout-out to them. See what they do. Team USA, first and foremost.
Yes.
And then, yeah, just this weekend's going to be crazy.
This weekend's about to be wild. We're now starting to move. I think I mentioned last week how we were in that kind of gray area where we weren't going to see a lot of people, like, opening up. And now we're starting to see people open up. A lot of relays are taking place. So next week's show, I feel like, is just going to be a good one. I'm going to bring out popcorn. Just going to sit here and chat.
Just sit here and chat with popcorn.
Chat about track and field, because there's going to be so much to just, like, break down. But you guys, thank you so much for joining us for the Flow Track Podcast. Please like, subscribe. As Ashley mentioned, she'll be on the ground at Stanford. Corey and I will be at Texas Relays. But we're going to have content at flowtrack.com. So make sure you go there, check out all the previews. Interviews are going to be coming through. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you again next week.